Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Real Happy Hour podcast. This is our season three of the Real Happy Hour podcast. I'm so happy. It's been a long time coming. There's been a few changes, and one of such changes is a new co-host. That is Precious. Hello, Precious.
Hey, guys. I am Precious. I'm now the new co-host of season three. Happy to be here. I can't wait to chop it up with you guys, to laugh, to cry, to talk, to yap. And just to have a good old time. So get your tea, get your coffee, get your drink, and stay tuned.
That's right. And actually, every episode, we should have a drink that we just sort of have. We can do like a toast, like, you know, to the Real Happy Hour, boom. So we'll do that next time. So great to have you on here. Let's do like a little intro. Who is Precious?
Yeah.
A little background about Precious. And yeah.
Well, my name is Precious. I'm literally, I'm in the media industry. I love everything film and TV. I love watching films in the cinema. I love creating content. I have my own. I make content. I love yapping.
Your own podcast, haven't you?
Yeah. I have my own podcast where I just literally interview people.
What's it called?
It was called The Gift of the Gab, but now it's called The Gabbing Hour. So it's just basically me yapping and talking to people who have like quirky jobs or who have interesting jobs that I just feel like they just don't get the time of day. So I've decided to like give them a platform to speak.
Nice. Amazing. Awesome. And we met at a We Are Black Journals event, which is this really, really cool network of Black diverse journalists coming together, and there's so many opportunities. Shout out to Hannah Jala. And it's amazing and cool, and I'm very happy that you're now with me with the Real Happy Hour podcast, and hopefully we can
make
moments. So on this first episode, or maybe I should do like a quick recap of where I am now. So obviously last year we were doing live events. We had a beautiful partnership with Genesis Cinemas. We still have that arrangement with them, but it's a bit different now, and I've just been so busy that we're meant to have an event every quarter, like one event every quarter, and we're like at the end of second maybe and due to time and work, I've just not been able to find the right time. So instead of pushing it forward, let me just do something so that the podcast doesn't just disappear. So like, all right, let's restructure a bit.
Always nice. It's always nice to like shake things up, have a bit of change. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So there's definitely will still be a live event, and I'm hopefully looking at November, December to just have like a nice big event. So that's still in the works. And that's where we are now. We're virtual. We might do some studio sessions. Depending on the vibe, depending on the day, depending on the guest, because there will be guests, and it will be a lot of fun. And I'm very excited. And yeah, that's where we are now. And now this very first episode, I have pre-recorded with someone. His name is a director. A producer, director, and possibly also a writer. His name is Tosin Koka, and I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago because he is one of the reasons why I even fell into the film and TV review, writing, production, the whole thing. Because prior to meeting him on set, where I was a production assistant on his set, I was like a full-blown journalist. Like, journalism was all I did. Like, uni, I always wanted to be a journalist from like 12. And so uni, after uni, journalism. And then I went back to Nigeria 2016, and I just stumbled on this production opportunity. And I was like, all right, let me just try it. And he was a director. And
what was the film?
It was a series called On the Real. This was Ebony Live Productions. And it was so cool. And he was brought in from America. Like, they hired him. I don't know how they found him. And I think we go into that in the conversation about how he got the opportunity to direct that series in Nigeria. So it was kind of like, the series is kind of like, imagine Jordy Shaw, where they have all those interview cutaways. But they're not party. They're like dealing with like real life. So it's like a documentary and then Jordy Shaw. it's just very different. And it was very different, very, very different from Nigerian kind of content.
Yeah, I was going to say that is very different from what I'm used to, yeah. Like seeing of Nigeria. I'm very used to just like Nollywood and like the dramatics. So knowing that there's other types of like creatives out there. That
it's very dramatic.
Different. I'm like, oh, it's dramatic.
It's a dramatic, okay. Dramatic. But it's like six young adults like in their
Yeah.
Figuring out life while being reality superstars. So it's like a mockumentary. And it's just mixed with a lot of genres in there.
Mm.
And he had two seasons, and a lot of people from that set have gone on to do amazing things. But anyway, I got to meet with Joe Tosinkoka. Hopefully we get to work together. And it was just good. I felt like it was good to sort of go back to the beginning of, because a lot of the time people ask me, why are you doing this? Why are you doing what you're doing? So he, working with him on that set sparked the whole film journey for me.
So, yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So we have Tosinkoka with us. Tosinkoka is an amazing film and TV director, and he is here with us today. Thank you so much for being here. How are you, Tosin?
Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm doing well. It's pretty great to at least, you know, to catch up. You know, we've known each other for a minute, so it's good to catch up with you on your platform.
Awesome. So we're going to start from the beginning. How did your journey start? Let's start from there. How you carry out?
Well, pretty much I started out with a corporate background in entertainment marketing and at Viacom. And then from there, I decided to start directing music videos. I think this was 1996. I started with music videos. And then from there, we got into like, I decided to go to film school, you know, pursued my degree in motion picture and television. With motion picture and television, I just jumped into filmmaking, I think in 2008. And ever since then, I've, you know, produced, directed several documentaries, TV series, movies, also a lot of my films have gone along to tour the festival circuit and had premieres on, you know, different networks, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, Aspire Television, Brown Sugar, and, you know, and Quelli TV. So it's more or less like, this started out with just, you know, film school and passion for film from my dad.
Awesome. So how early did you know you wanted to do film? Like how early in your life?
I'll be real with you. I didn't know I was going to do film. I had all of my formative years in Nigeria, and film was something that was so far-fetched, you know, in Nigeria growing up in the 80s, early 90s. So for me, I think it was much later. I used to draw a lot as a kid. And when I got into college, I went into animation, you know, first, because I felt film was kind of intimidating. So animation was my first start. And then from there, it wasn't until I got on my first music video set. And I realized, like, look, man, this is actually what I think I was meant to do. So from there, I decided to jump into film. This was, like 06. On the set, I just felt it, like, you know, looking at everything, the way things were moving, like, okay, this is what I was meant to do. And I had that moment, like, this is what I was actually put here to do. And since that period, I just started running with it, you know. And this was, 2006. Well, not 1996, 2006 is when I started, you know, I got the bug.
Amazing. So I met you 2015, I think. And I remember, like, firstly on set, the whole vibe was, oh my God, there's an American director coming all the way from America. It's coming to, you know, come and disrupt the entertainment scene in Nigeria. You know, that was about to be shaken. So what was what was that link? How did you get into On The Real Life? How did that all come about?
I don't know, guys, I guess it was serendipitous in the sense that it was kind of like a 2 degrees of separation type thing. My publicist at the time knew a producer at EL, Priscilla, and my publicist like talked to her about me, and she was like, you know, I have this guy in California. He's like, you know, he's Nigerian American. He's trying to like do something in Nigeria. Then she introduced me to Pris. Pris was like, look, I got a project coming up. I want to do something very different. And I was like, yeah, let me know about it. And then I met with she said she scheduled a Zoom call with Timmy Abudu. And once we had that conversation, kind of vibe, she told me her vision. She wants to do something very different, but something edgy. And I was like, look, I'm down for it. I watched a lot of Entourage. Like, yeah, let's get down and do it. And I had some things I wanted to experiment with in my head. And I felt this was the kind of project I was going to be able to do that cinematically. So it was honestly just like this 2 degrees of separation type situation. And once I met her and Pris, it was kind of like, okay, let's go, game on. And we just did it. I think I got to Nigeria. And I think about 4 or 5 days later, we're shooting. You know, so I didn't even have any time to prep, just like, okay, let's get in there and just shoot it. And it was pretty exhilarating experience.
It was an amazing experience, and it was really the turning point of my career, because at the time I was a journalist and I just come back.
Yes.
I was like freelancing with LTV, and I was sneaking away because my parents didn't know about, they know nothing about content.
Yeah.
Nothing about it. So I was sneaking away from work to come to the production up until it got to a point where they were like, okay, they eventually found out, and then LTV found out, was like, and then Tammy found, everyone found out, but like, you have to make a choice. Are you going to be like going with this journalism career or production? And prior to that, I had no experience in production. I was a production assistant on your set. And I was just like, okay, this is so much fun, because the coming together of just like the whole wheel in a cog, like, it's just so amazing in a production. And there's just that feeling of, wow, we're all a team. We're all working towards one thing. And it's so amazing.
Yeah. I like it too. When I go shoot a movie, you know how you go in the army? You know, you guys go off, ship out together, and you create this whole familial bond. You know, for me, every time we shoot a film, it's like a family. And that was with that family. It was us for like 2 years. You know, I was like, we all knew each other and that ecosystem. And it was, you know, we didn't know what to expect, because Nigeria is kind of like a place where you just, things get thrown at you. But because you have a good team of people that were all facing this together, you know, you feel kind of like comfortable, and you feel kind of like empowered to go forward, to meet the challenge. So I think that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. Now, you spoke lightly about your watching Entourage and just sort of enjoying that show. What were the shows that you watched that you felt really inspired you or influenced you?
Okay. I think earliest memory, movies like, you know what, my dad was a filmmaker, even though he didn't get to practice film in Nigeria. So he kind of like had us watching all kinds of movies as kids, you know, in Nigeria. And I remember we watched Braveheart, and I really, you know, it was like kind of like I was engrossed, you know, by just, you know, the movement, the passion of the characters, but I really didn't know what I wanted to do. What was a turning point in my life was I went to I was in animation school, and there was a premiere of, I think it was Star Wars or something, but we couldn't get to Star Wars because it was kind of like the lines were really long. So we decided to watch The Matrix instead. Watching The Matrix, that moment, I was like, oh my God, like it's kind of like a turning point in my life, because like I had never seen anything like that before, ever. I'm like, dude, I want to do what they're doing. And I think so, that was one of those, I think if you're going to say something that was impactful, was that. But amongst other things, I was also really moved by The Gladiator. You know, I love epics, you know, and Roman epics especially. And that was also pretty moving. You know, same with Peter Jackson stuff too.
Nice. What about TV shows? What TV shows did you watch when you really liked?
I'll be real, Chad. I really didn't start watching television up until I met one of my writing partners, my creative partners. This was in 2012. And he was more of a writer for TV, and he came on board, and he joined Skylar, and was like, "Look, I'm like, you got to watch this TV show and this TV show, because other than The Sopranos, you know, you didn't have that epic cinematic experience with television, and you know, mostly network stuff, and you know, so with that, I watched Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad was like, oh my God, this is like, it's just leaps above everything else. It was kind of like how writing should be done, how character arcs should be developed. And with that, it's funny, like that was a moment where I kind of shifted my focus more towards television, which is very weird. I do have a passion for film. I still make movies, but I have just an equal passion for television also, because it gives me an opportunity to actually experience and develop characters over a longer, you know, period of time, an arc, you know?
Yeah. And talking about movies, I have to bring up one of your movies that I saw that I just completely loved. That's Lara and the Beats. I absolutely love that film. It was just, I love the lead lady, She. Like, she is just so beautiful, so talented, and she played that role so well. She carried that film. The beautiful cinematography shot, it was just beautiful. And then that's the thing I think I've noticed about you, like the way you create things, they're very, very different. Like no other like cinematographer in Nigeria does it. And you just have like a signature of the way you shoot things, and it's so beautiful. So yeah.
Well, thank you.
Can you talk about Lara and the Beat?
Yeah, Lara and the Beat, that was actually pretty interesting. When I met Biola, I'm trying to remember my dates here. I think it was 2015. I just came out from Durban. We had a film at the Film Mart there that, you know, we got invited for. And I flew into Lagos. I met her through a friend. And I had another project in mind to do. It was a drama. And she was like, look, Tosin, you know, Nigeria right now is not ready for this dark drama stuff you're trying to do, but we could do a comedy. And then she had like, I have this project, you know, I want you to take a look at. And I saw it, and I was like, you know what? It was actually when we're shooting On the Real. I got off the set of On the Real. I went to go meet her, and she's like, I have a project for you. So I saw the project. Like, you know, I could actually take on this, but I have to make it mine. It was kind of very different. She's like, look, whatever you want to do. And I think that creative freedom she offered me was something I never experienced before. And with that, I got back to the States. I got my writing partner. We developed in a story. And as we developed it, we saw that the themes was what usually inspires us. That was actually what we try to focus on. Like, what theme do we want to approach here? And then on doing that, I think it was like a 4-month period of shooting the second season of On the Real 2. I got back into the States. And then from right there, I think I did 1 month, or no, 3 months in the States writing. And I was back in Nigeria, you know, ready for pre-production. But in that period, we had to cast, and I met a lot of really, really talented people in Nigeria. And she came for the audition, and she read for it. And she was pretty good in the audition, but she was not really sure of herself. So I literally was about to give the part to somebody, another actor. Wow. And like, the day I was going to give the other person the role, she comes in like, I want my role back. I'm ready to do it. And that person got another role in the film. But yeah, she came in, she was well prepared. She studied the script. She was one person that I know was so passionate about the art of filmmaking that she went and read the size, she read the script. She even knew other people's lines. She was overprepared for the role. She took in the role, she channeled different characters. She told me that she channeled Hilary Banks from Isabelle Air.
Definitely, I could see that.
Yeah. She really took on that role. And then with Vector came in, the chemistry was there, they kind of gelled, and like, look, these two are really good together. And we just got our, you know, great team, both from here in the States, guys I went to film school with, my cinematographer, and you know, some really cool people in Nigeria that I work with from On the Real. And it's kind of like a blending of really, really talented people who had the same vision to try and push, you know, cinema, you know, to a different height, do, you know, things differently. We're looking at Moonlight. We're looking at colored lighting. We're looking at, you know, La La Land. Unfortunately, because the initial vision for Lara and Bill was we couldn't achieve it because we just didn't have the time. Nigeria is kind of like everything's fast paced. But right. The initial thing was supposed to be a musical, much like La La Land. with moving pieces. So as the camera is flipping around, the set is changed. So guys are, it's very kinetic. People are going to be changing the scenes around and location. So we could go from night to day in a spin.
You know, yes, that's something I think I've noticed in the way you shoot your things. Yeah. You do like that flow of
the dance, you know, dance between the camera and the actor. So I like that whole dance because, you know, we could do the OTS, OTS TV, so soap opera thing, or we could just do a dance around the character and let the characters lead us. So I tend to give it that kinetic energy on a set. And I love the idea of work with people that give me suggestions, like, you know, my cinematographer, my lighting guy can give me a suggestion, even my production assistant can say, hey, look, I think da 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 da, like, let's try it, you know, because it's very collaborative. It takes a whole village. So you got to be open to work with other people.
Amazing. Now, I don't think Nigeria is ready for a musical yet. I don't think they're there yet.
Maybe not, right?
No, so I think it's good that didn't happen, because even Wicked, that's so big. There's videos of people watching Wicked in like Nigerian cinemas and just going, yeah, it's good, but there's so much singing. And you're like, well, that's
actually good. the good thing, I guess, we didn't go that route, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel we like films like Dreamgirls, but I don't know if a lot of us can actually see through. We're just not there yet. Maybe it's just like a native language, like Yoruba film. Maybe.
Yoruba musical might be interesting. That's a good idea. That's actually something worth exploring.
Yes, please just keep in mind when you go there, because I
yeah, definitely. I mean, that's groundbreaking. I'll say you should actually start putting something together for that. That's a great idea, because you have folklore, you have, like, you know, this folk music you can actually tap into, which resonate for a new generation. So that's a great idea, dude. Mm.
So what are you working on now? What's been going on? Because obviously,
I have a few questions.
Before even getting to what you're working on now, as through all of your years and experience in that, what are the obstacles for a new filmmaker or someone who's in the industry that they could experience? I'll tell you, say that, then we can go into what you're working on now.
Okay, I'll be real with you. No two people or two filmmakers are the same. Different obstacles. Also, it could be diverse based on ethnicity, culture, all those kind of things. I think for me, the way I look at it is, like, for a Black person to, you know, a Caucasian person, the bar of entry is a lot harder. Unfortunately, that's just the reality we live in today. And, you know, but I think one of the things that one has to keep in mind is that, what are you doing this for? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's your primary motivation for you trying to get into film? That's one of the key things, because through that, you can actually be able to weather the storm. Your resilience can actually build based on a passion. If you're entering film for the wrong reasons, then I'll say you should probably go choose another career path, because not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of rejection in this industry. There's a lot of pain in this industry. There's a lot of competition in this industry, unfortunately. And, you know, but I think that if you're going to go into it, you got to just be passionate about it. You got to be able to study for it. Finance is always a big issue, because films are expensive. But great thing about it is that now you can actually shoot films, short films, for, you know, fraction of a budget. If you're resourceful, you'll be able to do something that can actually get you noticed in the film festival circuit. But I think you just got to be passionate. Like, for me, every time I have a low point, I just look at, why am I in this? You know, why am I doing this? Or I go watch a movie from a filmmaker I respect, like, yeah, that's why I love this. You know, you got to have that, you know, option. I remember I was in a very low period of my career. Like, I was really, really down. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I remember I just went on a marathon of watching Tarantino pictures. Mm-hmm. And watching Tarantino's Pulp Fiction and all that, kind of like, you know what, this is why I want to do this. And it actually got me into writing, which is why I said the new track I started, you know, I went into about 4 or 5 years ago, I started writing screenplays, which I never thought I would do, because I hate hearing my own voice. I hate it. But doing it actually opened me up to a whole new world of, you know, of this industry, you know, and I think that that's something you should take into, you know, like, figure out where you fit in, figure out your passion for it, and let that passion drive you. You know, never be afraid to learn, because you're forever learning. Just keep learning, keep pushing yourself. And I believe that if you have the right passion and the drive for it, you definitely get in there.
What about like the hurdles of being a Nigerian filmmaker in Nigeria?
Nigeria is not, you know, okay. My experience in Nigeria is maybe different from a lot of people because I kind of came in from here to what I got to do, and you know, but I learned a lot of things in Nigeria. It's extremely competitive landscape over there, I guess, because, you know, there are not a lot of opportunities. It's very capital intensive, so you got to really, really stand out. But the hurdle for Nigeria is the system itself is not built to sustain cinema the way it would in any, like in, maybe in the West or in South Africa. And that's because it's not a really focal point, I guess. Even though it's a very big high earner for the GDP, the resources and infrastructure are not really there yet. I mean, it might have changed now, but I'm thinking like, you know, having a studio set up, which I believe somebody just did recently. So I think it might just be evolving. But when I was there, it was just wasn't set up for that. So, you know, like getting permits, you have to be able to overcome like, you know, the paperwork hurdle because bureaucracy of it could take you months to get something. Obviously, you have the situation where you have area boys, thugs, can come, you know, shut down your set. Cops can come shut down your set. Like I went through a whole lot of shooting. I mean, my experience, I think I got arrested once. I got, I had the area boy situation happen. The cops come trying to shut down. I remember we got chased on a boat by the, I went to Tin Can to shoot. And then I guess the cops were coming and we had to get on a boat and just to steal a shot. And we're in a boat chase type situation just for this particular film. So it was quite an adventure. I mean, I remember a lot of people had PTSD coming back here like, Tosin, I got to like get away from film for like 6 months. But for me, it was fun. It was fun experience. It's an adventure. Nigeria is developing. I haven't been back in a minute, but from what I'm hearing, it's developing. I know that they've had their challenges, you know, with stuff like Netflix and Amazon that I read about, but I think people are resourceful enough to find new avenues to explore for distribution of their projects.
Very, very true. Okay, so what are you working on at the moment that we should be expecting?
I have a few projects that are in development. I can't really talk a lot about them. When I signed with an agency, and my agent was like, look, there's opportunity for, like, you have to look. He turned on Netflix for me. He's like, look at that. And I was like, right now, you have to understand that the competition is no longer just Nigeria. Mm. Your project right now, it has to be able to go beyond Nigeria because your competition is now the world. You're going to, you know, you're looking at Squid Game. You're looking at, you know, there's a Brazilian TV series that I believe that won. The heist one, I'm trying to remember.
Something heist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you have like all sort of competition, like you have some, you know, from China, from Japan, and you got to be able to stand out. So it was like, we got to start that. Nigeria, we have the technical know-how, but we need to develop screenwriting, you know, our abilities, you know, and we need to be able to write local for global. So with that, I got my team together. Like, we got to dedicate more time towards our development. We got to be able to take stuff out that would compete with anything here. So I have a few projects on the slate, the development. I have a sci-fi project that's what we're developing for Africa. I have a sports drama project. And there was a conversation about a sequel to Lara and the Beat, which I've not really gotten to. It's kind of like early development of that one. And then I have a couple of horror pictures too for the continent. So I develop a whole lot of stuff for the continent, also here in the States. But our focus right now is to get our scripts to a point where we can compete globally, you know. And that's what my team of writers and I have been working on. And so I'll say stay tuned. I don't want to go into specific because obviously I'm not allowed to talk about them personally, like, you know, but I will say stay tuned and we should be able to see something real soon.
Nice. I'd like a sequel to Lara and the Beat would be cool. Maybe like a cousin or like a sibling, long lost sibling or something. So, like, you've obviously worked in America, worked in Nigeria. What about the UK? Because there's not a lot of black representation in the UK. And the ones that there are, there's not like a... they're not everywhere, and there's not a lot of visibility for that. So have you ever thought about sort of coming to the UK and setting up roots in that?
I mean, it would be great to set up roots in the UK. My wife actually is from the UK. So I do love the UK a lot. The thing about it is that I have a, you know, there are a lot of great filmmakers out there. A lot of really talented guys that I've met, you know, in the festival circuit are from the UK. I have really good friends that are filmmakers. And it would be great. My intention long run, I don't feel like I'm going to be directing everything I work on anyway. But I've actually started to narrow down certain filmmakers in the UK I would love to collaborate with, where I'll produce for them. They produce, you know, they direct certain projects for me out there. So I do have projects that that take place in the UK too. You know, so I have a soccer drama. I think I can talk about this one. It's a soccer drama, a comedy drama that takes place in the UK. And it revolves around the kidnapping of a Premier League football player in an attempt to prevent him from signing to another team. You know, so leaving his own team, like, you're going to leave us in our little town to go sign with this other big team. And because you guys take it seriously over there,
yeah,
kidnap him in order to convince him to stay on their home team. So yeah, it's a really funny comedy that has been developed in the UK. And then I have another project that's also taking place in the UK. And it's about a Nigeria-UK collaboration that we're developing.
That sounds fantastic. The UK and football, soccer here is crazy. So
great culture. Great culture.
Do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
No, I'd like to know what you've been up to. I mean, I'm glad that you're really deep into, you know, the film, motion picture and television. I like the fact that you're passionate about it. You've been pushing it. And, like, what do you see? Like, what are your goals? What are your plans? Like, what do you, you know, want to do?
So I moved here in 2019, and I kind of didn't have any network into film. And after studying here, I moved back in 2019. And so I said, what can I do? Obviously, there was lockdown 2020, nothing was happening. And around the end of 2020, I was like, okay, I need to build a community of filmmakers, sets, props, all of that. I need to just find a community. So I went out to a lot of networking events, and then I was like, what can I do to sort of get them all together? And then I said, all right, let me create a podcast where I'm talking to a lot of independent filmmakers, established filmmakers, and get them on the podcast, talk to them. And the goal is that build this community where we can all make something. You know, you have that, you need someone that does this, that does that. Yeah, we've got that link. Yeah. And so that's the goal. And then last year I was able to have a collaboration with a cinema. So we were hosting monthly events, which is really cool. No one was doing it, no one is still doing it.
Yeah.
Where we've got live podcast events, and we screen a movie. After the movie, we've got like a panel. We talk about the film, break it down. One of the best ones was when James Samuel actually surprised everyone and came on. And
that's cool.
It was really amazing. Like, it was one of the best highlights of last year, really. It was so
cool.
Did the Book of Kyrens, beautiful movie, and we were reviewing it, and it popped up. So, yeah, that's just the goal right now. Just keep making more connections, and then we can now start creating something. I've not created anything yet. I do have something small that I've created that's submitted to all of the festivals and all of that. Hopefully,
yeah. I remember you had a TV series you actually did, which was, you know, it's pretty cool. I think I saw it. How did that go?
That has gone through a lot of transformations. It hasn't really gone anywhere. But I'm still working and trying to make you get somewhere called Click. And it's just really amazing. I think one of the hardest things for me with that experience is it's not even just about me. It's about the crew and the actors. And it's like, you know, we're doing this thing together. And it's like, okay, where can we take this to? So I'm still pushing with that. I'm still working on it. And meeting quite a lot of distributors. And we're seeing where it can go. Obviously, this is moving from what it initially was to what it will eventually become. But because, like, I don't have... it's me just sort of working on it. And
I got you. I totally get it.
But yeah, it's still very much in the pipeline. And we've got another thing that we're working on right now that's in festivals. So yeah.
Nice. Congratulations, man. Really, really cool stuff, man.
And yeah. I definitely don't think, I think it's very, very hard, the film industry in Nigeria. There are a lot of gatekeepers in Nigeria, and it's very intense. And I think now I know so much more now. And I bet you, even you have quite the rare experience of you were like literally sourced, and you were like, you didn't really have to hustle for work like a lot of us had to do, because you were like, there was talent, you were seen, you were picked, and you were brought in, and you were like,
you're right, but, to get the talent and everything.
But I faced a lot of gatekeepers, and it was as hard as some of the experiences were. There were so many more amazing experiences, like having to work with you, having to work with Timmy, having to work with Film Source Production. It was so many amazing. So all shades of grace in that.
You're right. No, you're right. There are a lot of gatekeepers, and it's kind of difficult because, you know, it's just like Hollywood, you know, in Nigeria, in Hollywood, they say you have $3 billion worth of conversation, $100 million worth of movies made, you know, because everybody's talking, but nobody's really doing. Same thing in Nigeria. Everybody will talk to you. Yeah, let's do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to give you money. Yeah, don't worry. And then you're like, okay, dude, what's going on? And like, oh, postponed for like 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And then, you know, you have those gatekeepers that like, you know, oh, you got to pay me to talk to this person, or, you know, you can't talk to this person. You have to go through 3 people to get to this person. And, you know, so I do get it. It's not easy in Nigeria, but I think there's an opportunity where you are right now to do something, come at it very differently, based on what knowledge you accumulate over there and what concepts you come up with and your approach, even what you already have. I think that there's a roadmap towards getting what you have already, the TV series we're working on, to, you know, to get it into the limelight, you know, and I think that there's that roadmap. We could talk about that later.
You know what? I'll send you the link to click so you can just watch it over again, and you can see what can happen with that.
Yo, dope. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm gonna probably be popping to the UK at some point this year. I think amazing. I have that. They're scheduling a trip for me, so definitely link up when I'm out there.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing a lot of your knowledge and your experiences. And I would definitely love to have you back. Also, when you've got something coming and we can do behind the scenes or do something, I don't know.
That'd be great. Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. And yeah, thank you so much.
Well, guys, I hope you liked what we spoke about. You took some gems away and you could apply it to your own selves and your own lives. Don't forget to
like, subscribe, follow, share with all your friends. Please, guys, you need to
share with your mom, your dad, your grandma, everybody, please.
Your enemy, your ops, share with them. Let them know. let them know. And follow us on all 3 streaming platforms, on YouTube, social media, The Real Happy Hour podcast everywhere. Thank you very, very much. And
we'll see you in the next one.